Good morning. Oh, there you are. Okay. Please stand. We're going to sing Blessed Be the Name, and it will be up here on the board, or it's in your hands.
Bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come here today to worship you. Guide and direct us, and let the words and the singing reach the hearts and souls of those here, and also those that are listening and watching online. These things we pray in your name. Amen.
Our first hymn is going to be 191, Jesus Loves Me. I'm sure you all remember this from Vacation Bible School and all that jazz. So,
and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will
be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, forever. Amen. Maybe seated. Maybe. We'll sit and sing the next song. Oh, no, we won't. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless us today, enable us to give what we are able to give to you, and what we give to you can be used for your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you. You'd think by now I could learn how to follow this bulletin, but for some reason it doesn't always work. This morning, two things. First of all, yeah, can't hear me. Sorry.
Now you can, right? I feel like I'm screaming when that's on. First of all, I'd like to introduce Ed Barcombe. I got it almost right, didn't I? Ed is our new, will be our new lay minister. Make sure I get it right. And his wife's with him today. If you haven't met him, try to see him when church is over today. We appreciate you being here today. The message today, I struggled with a little bit. I'll tell you the title of it. It's called 11 Incredible Benefits of Going to Church. 11 Incredible Benefits of Going to Church. But, seeing as how I do, when I look these up, a lot of the information comes from a particular person. And in this case, this comes from a pastor named Kevin Makins. He's the founding pastor of the Eucharist Church in downtown Hamilton, Ontario, in Canada. I'd like to give those. Some of the words might be mine, but a lot of them are his. But I think they're really worth sharing today. The first question, are there benefits of going to church? And I'm sure some of you have got an answer. And I'm sure some of you have used over the time, and I've been guilty, about coming up with reasons not to go to church. And long before coronavirus, you know, it really messed us up because it kept us out of church. So we had an excuse, right? We couldn't come to church because of the coronavirus. But before that and after that, we still have, and I'm not just saying it's you, I've used some of these as well, but I want to list them real quickly. One of them, it says, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to go to church on Sunday. Oh, I'm too tired. I mowed all day Saturday. I worked in the yard and I'm just worn out. Oh, the weather, it's raining. So if it's raining, I can't go to church, right? Or if it's 95 degrees, I can't go to church, right? And others say, I don't like the speaker. Now, I know none of you thinking that this morning, but that is one that gets used a lot. Don't like the speaker. Don't see the point of going to church. And I had to use this one more than once when I was on rotating shifts. I had to work. I had no choice. I wasn't able to come to church. But in some cases, we use that as an excuse. Oh, yeah, and you can listen to the sermon online. As you know, we do record now. So, you know, if you decide, hey, I don't want to go to church, I'll just listen online. I can study the Bible by myself. Church is boring. You ever heard that? Church is boring? Not if you know all the people I know. There's no way it can be boring, okay? I've been hurt too many times by members of the church. Been there, done that. But in my mind, the way I grew up, the way I was taught, suck it up. That should not keep you out of church. But unfortunately, people use that one. I don't agree with or support the leadership. I'm not comfortable there. And I don't feel my needs are being met. And right here, here's the thing. The church is not about me or you. It's about God. And sometimes we forget that. It's not a social gathering, even though sometimes we turn it into that. It's about loving and serving the people of God. Some of the reasons for not going to church are valid. And again, you know some of them are the work, and there's others that are valid. But let us focus on some of the benefits now of going to church. Regular church attendance provides physical, spiritual, and emotional benefits. Have you ever thought about those? They said studies have shown that that people who believe in God have healthier lives. And I believe that's because we're created to worship. That's how God created us, to be part of His kingdom, to be part of His church. The first one is, in the incredible benefits, is reduces stress. Attending church regularly has mental health benefits. It says you'll have less anxiety, worries, and fears because, in my mind, you can release those while you're here. As I've told you several times when I've had the opportunity to speak to you, going to church has always been an important part of my life because so many times that's how I got through the next week. That week was so tough. I had so many things on my mind, but when I came here, I got to talk to my church family. And we talked about good things in some cases. And that was reduced the stress in my life, and I'm sure it has in some of yours. Companionship. Now, there's not a lot of people in our church. Some of you could not even imagine, but I can remember when all these pews were full, totally full. But it doesn't matter how many. It just, if you attend regularly, if you come to church as often as you can, guess what? You're going to make friends. You're going to find godly mentors, people here among you that when you look at them, you know that they have a wonderful relationship with God, and maybe that's where you would like to get to. The third is corporate worship. Corporate worship. While salvation is individual for each one of us, it is communal. We benefit from worshiping with others. You go back and look at all the stories of our Christ, of Jesus, and He went into the synagogues with people. There was always people there. It wasn't just Him. It wasn't just Him and one more. It was Him and people. Same thing here. God put us in community because He knows that it's the best way to increase our faith. If you try to live on your own, in my mind and in my opinion and what I've read, if you try to live on your own in faith, you're going to struggle. It's going to be hard because you have no one to share with. Opportunities to use your gift. Now, what is your gift? When we become members of the church, God gives each of us what's called a spiritual gift. In Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So there you have it. Use your gifts. God's given you something. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Given to you for the common good. Opportunities to use your gift. And then number 5 is a chance to introduce children to God. Oh, how I love that opportunity. And how I can remember when this congregation was full of children. Many people think children don't understand what's being taught in church. But he says here that he has seen children with faith that have led members of their family to Christ Jesus. Told us we need to become like little children. And we go to Matthew 18:3, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm sure some of you've heard these. I've heard these words before. But when I do these presentations, it really, these scriptures jump out at me. I always love reading scriptures that I know I've heard, I know you've heard, but here it really meant something. Don't deprive your children of the chance to fellowship with God, it talks about. And then number six is encouragement. Let's face it. You know, sometime down that journey of becoming or being a Christian, you're going to feel like giving up. If you've not been there yet, thank you. But I have. But I never gave up. As I've told many people, I grew up in this church. I've made the statement before, it's my church, and I understand that it's God's church, but it's also my church. And it's a chance for me to be here to get that encouragement that I need. It says, Christianity doesn't make sense, at least not in the way the world can understand, but spending time regularly with your brethren, your friends in Christ, you will remind you that the trials of this life are but only for a short time. And let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Hear it again. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. Number seven is a springboard for leadership. The church is a great place to learn about leadership, it says, and to practice what you're learning among a forgiving body. I know you have to forgive me, because for some reason, every time I'm up here, I can't seem to follow this. It's right here in front of me, but I seem to mess it up every time. Most congregations allow you to participate in service, which allows you to develop skills like organization and public speaking. And I guess it gave me that opportunity at some point in my life. I never dreamed that I would be up here in a pulpit talking about God's Word. It gives opportunities to serve your community. And it says, service is one of the tenets of the church. Serving. We are called to be witnesses of Christ, and that includes helping those around us. The church allows us to be in a community, serving our community. And we've served our community in many ways over the years. We serve it now. The Sundays, I forgot what week it is, but anyway, we go to the Presbyterian Church and work up there to serve lunch. We provide that lunch and serve lunch to those in need, giving back to our community. Number nine, teaches you how to love. Did you ever think it? Church going to teach you how to love? It says one of the greatest benefits is to learn how to love others. I've often heard it said that the church is filled with hypocrites. But if you're honest with yourselves, we'll realize the church has always had problems. All of us are sinful. We're broken people. And so we will do and say things that don't really represent who we are. It happens. But if we are to be like Christ, we have to spend time with the people He spent time with. Again, back into your church. We have to love the people He loves. And in learning to love them, we learn how God loves us. And I know you've heard it before, but I can't help but share it when I read this. It's my time with my Sunday school teacher, Martha Rogers. And we just did not agree that Sunday on the subject or what was going on in Sunday school. Now, what was it? I can't tell you. But I remember not agreeing with her. Not violently, but very sternly. And she finally said, Larry, you and I are going to have to agree to disagree. But I still remember when we walked out of Sunday school that day, she put an arm around me And she said, Larry, don't forget this. Even though we're agreeing to disagree, I still love you and I always will love you. I don't know how many times if you've ever had anybody do that for you, but it's there forever for me. Teaches you how to love. Access to resources you may not have had otherwise. It says here, he knew a number of persons who claimed that they were not able to read until they started attending church. You know, that is so hard to even comprehend for me because, I learned to read, obviously, from very, very early on, like most of you did. But I know there are people out there, I've heard the stories of people that they didn't learn to read forever. And in this case, there were people that learned to read because they came to church. It says that there are also people that have been able to get scholarships to fund their education through church. In many cases, people have opened up a business, got resources. And it says others have been coached and mentored into being better versions of themselves.
Can you imagine being a better version of yourself? But through Christ, through the church, through your church friends, that can happen. In number 11, it says, introduces people to their Savior. Let's not forget the most incredible benefit of going to church. And you know what that is? What is it? Jesus. That's the benefit of going to church. Jesus. The church teaches people all about God through the programs of the church. We learn to study our Bibles and we learn to pray. And we also learn more about our Heavenly Father. More so than, and here I am, and I don't care to say, soon to be 76. And in the last few years in the Bible study that I have attended here, I've learned more and more, more about my Heavenly Father through that Bible study than I had ever thought about. We become a part of the living, breathing body of Christ. So one of the most important reasons we should not only attend church regularly, but remain an active part of the body is because it honors God. Even Jesus, the Son of God, regularly attended church. He did this because it honored His Father and because He wanted to go where God's people were assembled. And He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and He stood up to read. And that's in Luke 4:16. Christ used His gifts in the church and did so in ways that gave honor and glory to His Father. Since Jesus is our example, we should act in a similar manner. Don't forget that. Jesus is our example. On another Sabbath, He entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. This is out of Luke 6:6. And basically, the people in charge were waiting to see, was He going to heal him on the Sabbath? You don't do that. But He did. He healed him. The man walked away healed. Paul called the church the household of God and also the body of Christ. And since Jesus aligns Himself so closely to the church, shouldn't we do the same? The household of God and also the body of Christ. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of truth. And this is out of 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. The author of Hebrews encouraged the believers of that time to remain in community. I like to think he understood how tempting it would be to want to walk away from the church, and so he gave us these words. And these are out of Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Know yourself just as we each have varied spiritual gifts. And we do. We all have varying needs from our Lord and Savior, the body of Christ. If we went around today, I'm sure each one of you would come up with something different as to why in this particular day, maybe this particular hour, this minute, that you believe and you need God. He says, run your race. The path set before us may not look like it does for anyone else. So what's for you, what's for me, can be very different. We have to find our own way. That may mean that others don't understand what we're doing. But if God has called us to it, we should be faithful. And that's where I know it gets difficult too. Because in some cases, God has laid on me things that didn't quite go with the people I was around. I sort of remember some of that from my college days. I can really remember back that far. That may mean that others don't understand what we're doing, but if God has called us to it, we should be faithful. Be faithful in what God has called you to do. With so many things competing for your time and attention, you have to make this decision as to what you will focus on. Even more importantly, you will have to decide if going to church benefits you and your family. Sometimes it seems if the church is an antiquated system that has played its part and should be abolished. Oh, please, never. But I can assure you it's not. It's a place where we can learn to see others as God sees them. We learn to appreciate and truly be grateful for the love God bestowed on us, knowing, hear this, that He loves us no matter what. And that's out of Romans. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, and guess what? He died for us. Don't forget that. He loves us. He loved us before. He loved us during His term here. And He loves us now. He always will. And that's what He did. He died for us. So there's your 11 reasons and some information on coming to church. I hope those that are listening, I would hope that maybe, and in some cases, again, there is reasons to be at home listening, and that's, I'm not talking about those. But if you're there listening and you feel like you need a church, I hope and pray that you'll come and visit with us one time. And if it's not us, somewhere else. But somewhere where you can find peace, you can find comfort, and you can find help among other Christian people. And that's, to me, what church is about. May God bless you in this coming week. And may you not forget to come back next Sunday. Thank you.
Please stand, and we're going to sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin. It's on 365 or up here on the board. That blessed assurance. Thank you.
reminder before the benediction, next Sunday, don't forget, this will be the last Sunday for David, Mary Lynn, Gracie, and also Scarlett. There will be a lunch provided afterwards. It's all been taken care of. Plan to attend. And it says, with our love and blessings on the next journey from here with Ed. So pass the word. Let's get some more folks out next week to send Doug and his family, or David and his family, and Miss Scarlett off onto their next adventures. Let's bow our heads. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen.